Good evening, everyone. Let the record indicate it is now 5 o'clock and the Warwick City Council Finance Committee has been called to order. Before we get into the actual items in the bid package, I am going to ask our council solicitor, Mr. Walsh, to just address this body before we continue. So if you could do that, Mr. Solicitor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What you may notice this evening is that the committees have been expanded. So Council President Sinapi was duly installed on January 7th and used his executive authority over the legislative branch to, as we normally do, appoint the committee chairs and the members of said committee. As you know, as you may see on the agenda on another committee this evening, the rules package is going to be discussed. That rules currently contains a proposal to codify the expansion to 4. But at this point in time, it is duly within the authority of the president to convene this body, these committees as 4-person members, which has been appropriately posted in accordance with all of the laws. And so the committee is in order to proceed.
Thank you, Solicitor Walsh. I'd like to welcome everybody back in the year 2025. For me, it's kind of deja vu. We start our second term, if you will, as finance chair, and I'm very happy to do that and very happy to work with you all and look forward to doing so. I would also like to congratulate Mr. Sinapi on his appointment to council president. Congratulations, Mr. President, as well as to the old regime, if you will, as there's a few of us here, me being the oldest, I suppose. And also, especially to our new members. We have 2 new members on the city council. I'm sorry, 4 new members on the city council. And I am very, very excited about having the opportunity to work with them as well. It goes without saying that we face some extremely difficult financial challenges in the next several years, if not the foreseeable future, financial challenges. I think that goes without saying, and I'm speaking for myself. I'm not speaking for anyone else on the city council or any of the department heads. This is strictly my own feelings. And I recognize these challenges. It's going to create pain. It's going to be painful. We're going to have to make some painful decisions. My important position with this is I cannot allow 100% of the pain to be borne by the taxpayers. I won't do that. This is going to be a shared pain. And to say we don't have financial difficulties is, you know, just simply not admitting it. I'm going to be looking to work with all of the department heads. This weekend, I sent off quite a few emails to various department heads, and I want to also thank every one of you for responding so quickly, many who responded on Sunday. The questions that I ask for the ones that have been through this with me 8 years ago for 4 years, there's nothing new. The questions I ask are no different than I've been asking pretty much every council meeting for 12 years. So there really shouldn't be any surprises with regard to the questions that I'm asking and the information that I'm looking for. It is going to be absolutely imperative that this information is disseminated to us. The communication I will be doing through email, and the responses I receive will be through email as well. So having said that, we'll start off with our first item, which is 2025. I'm sorry? Oh, I'm sorry. Let me see. May I have my sheet, please? Joanne's taking care of that for me. We have the acceptance of the minutes on the committee meeting held on December 16th. May I have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Have a favorable. We have a second?
You.
I'll second it. You guys? Yeah. You abstain. Awesome. We have two abstentions. Okay.
Now we have to call a vote.
With that said, I need a motion.
You got a motion.
And a second?
You got it.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
Aye. Yes.
So you're going to have to abstain too on the minutes, as you weren't on the finance committee at that time.
Good point.
No, that's right.
Good point. Thank you. See, you got me in trouble. Already.
I know. It worked. It worked. I second the motion. I vote in favor of the motion to accept the minutes.
So hold on now. There's only one person on this committee that can vote. How do we handle this, Solicitor?
Tem can vote and you can vote.
For the five of you that were at the prior council, we're just going to make sure there's no objection to the approval of the minutes.
I didn't hear what you said.
So from the committee standpoint, with you and Mr. Foley, as well as the new members, look for unanimous consent to approve the minutes. Any objection within the committee, and would recommend that the new members abstain. Do it that way.
So it'd be unanimous consent.
So speaking to you and Mr. Foley and to the four of you seating at the table, is there what you would ask? Is there any I move unanimous consent to approve those minutes. Is there any objection?
Okay.
Hearing none. If there is none, any abstentions, let them be noted and then approve
that is
through you.
Well said. We have unanimous consent. Do we have any objections from the committee? Any exceptions? Hearing.
Abstain.
Okay. Hearing none. We're done with the minutes.
Hope it gets better. It's a rough stop there.
Now, say, wait a minute. I got two or three people speaking here. Say what?
So that covers us for the consent calendar bids. If we could repeat the same process for the committee meeting on the balance of the items from December 16th.
So the, yep.
So now we're here.
Correct.
So we did this one. You have to do the same thing on that.
The same motion. Do we have any objections on the consent calendar? Hearing none. So ordered.
So now you're here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So thank you. So we're on PCR 5-25. The first item up is 2025-302.
Eric Earls, Public Works Director.
Good evening, Director.
Good evening.
Okay.
This bid is for replacement parts for various vehicles. DPW received 8 bids. Recommend award to all 8 of the vendors in the amount of $886,600. This bid is in conjunction with bid 2025-30. 301A and 301B.
Bear with me 1 minute. And Eric, this will be this $886,600. This is for the next two bids, right? It's not, in other words, it's not just for one item. This is, you know, for the benefit of the new members of the city council who really haven't gone through this in the past, correct?
Yeah. So this would allow our automotive division to go out and purchase parts for, with regard to, you know, this one and then the next two A and B for essentially all the parts in our fleet that we maintain.
Okay. Eric, who provides the materials or equipment that you're looking to get bids for to these vendors? In other words, if you recall, some time back in the day, we had requested that when you go off a bid for auto parts, that you list the 15 to 20 or so most common parts or most used tires or snow blades, etc. Who is responsible for providing that list in the bid package?
That would typically come out of the garage. They would be the best ones to identify what the, you know, 10 or 15 most relevant items are.
Okay. So in this bid package, just, you know, to bring it to your attention, what I'm going to be looking for is when we get these different components that you've sent out, limited to 15 or 20, this item here on the auto parts, I don't remember the number, but it's well over 100 items that came in. And in having some conversations with vendors, that's part of the problem that they have, is they don't want to take the time to provide 100, 150 different prices. It just fills up our binder with, you know, things that we don't really need. So not just your department, all departments, if you could limit those items to 15 or 20 most commonly used parts, so we don't have to try to go through, you know, 130, 140 sheets. The other thing that I noticed in this bid package, and I haven't seen this in a long time, but it's here, is the only one that provided a breakdown for the net price was East Coast Terminals. When I looked at the other vendors, all I saw was a discount, 50%, 40%, whatever the discounts were, and I did not see any list price. And that was a problem years ago. We had rectified that problem in the departments by requiring the vendors that were bidding to show the list price. Because I know for certain, I have no idea who is the best deal by just looking at something that says, okay, we're going to give you a 50% discount, you know, and Ed's going to give a 40% discount off of what? You have no idea what the starting number is. So again, I know we're going to have a bit of a settling in period here again, but that's something that is going to absolutely be required, that when you give us these bids, not just the list price, I'm sorry, not just the discount offered, but what the list price is, so we can confirm the net. East Coast did make a note on their very first page, our price, and it's all completely spelled out and very easy to know what their numbers are.
So is that in addition to the 10 or 15 items that you just asked for, rather than the whole list? I'm confused, because you just...
No, just on those items.
Okay.
Because obviously you don't know everything that you're going to be bidding on, and probably half of the stuff that was in that 100 and some odd pages of bids you probably never use.
Probably more of that, yeah.
Yeah, probably a lot more than that. So it'd only be for the items that you request. Spark plugs.
Yeah.
The list price is $2. You know, the net, the discount is whatever, and this is the net.
Yeah.
Okay, we need have a starting point. So, you know, I'm not going to be concerned with it this time. And in auto parts, what had you spent in fiscal year 2024?
You know what? I don't have that information in front of me.
I think that was something I had emailed off, I think.
I don't recall. I don't think so. But I can certainly find that out. That's relatively easy to okay. track down.
Also, on some of the bids from the vendors, there's a space on the top of the sheets where they're supposed to sign it or at least write the name of their companies, and that wasn't done either. So it just goes to the concerns that you've heard me speak about over the years of, you know, people checking these things. Those items, they're put there for a reason, obviously, and I for one will be looking to make sure that that information is provided. Are there any questions from members of the committee regarding these pots? Any questions?
No, I have none.
Councilman Napper, any questions?
No.
No. Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? I'm sorry, the council. Are there any questions from members of the council? Hearing none, are there any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from the members of the public? Are there any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion. Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Correct. All right. So I know.
No problem.
2025-301A, it's part of the 886, the same as 2025-301B. We're going to move down to ammunition, bid number 2025-327, item number 4, and it's found on page 8. Good evening, Major. If you could just identify yourself for the record, please.
Good evening, Major Sullivan for the Police Department.
You have the floor, sir.
The Police Department went out to bid for ammunition and received 3 bids. Bids were received from Stride Firearms and Ammunition of Sumner, Washington, Eagle Point Gun, also known as TJ Morris and Sons of Thoroughfare, New Jersey, and Deese Firearms LLC of Texarkana, Texas. The Police Department recommends awarding the 1-year bid to Eagle Point, TJ Morris and Sons, as they were the lowest overall qualified bidder. Funding for this bid would be derived from budget code 30-236, range and target supplies.
Thank you, Major. I reached out to you yesterday and asked you, actually, a lot of questions, and I want to thank you for getting back to me so promptly with those answers. Some of the questions I had asked: how many officers do you have currently serving? How many officers are required to qualify? The dollar amount spent in 2024, 2025? How many rounds in stock now, et cetera, et cetera? And we had a conversation just a few minutes ago along with the colonel regarding the amount that you're looking for, $150,000, which is significantly higher than what the department has averaged over the last 9 to 10 years that I've gone back. I understand that, you know, there's more training involved. We have rifles now in each one of the patrol cars that require other ammo. But when I add up the dollars and cents, you know, that are spent over the last 10 years versus what we've been spending or looking to spend in about a year, it just seems to be excessive. I also spoke with you about the ammo that is used for qualifying versus the ammo used for training. And with that said, I know you need ammo. You have a strong reserve of ammo. I believe you had indicated to me that you have approximately a 1 year inventory on ammo. And going forward, you obviously are going to have to purchase more ammo at some point. As I said earlier, there's going to be pain, and we're going to have to make some serious financial decisions here. And this particular item here, I had asked for you to agree to reduce this down to $75,000. And if it's something that requires more monies, I realize you'll have to come back to us. And I think we need to do that. And hopefully you're going to be able to live within this budget, as we're going to need to do with other departments. Any questions from, I'm sorry, Major, do you have anything else?
I do not.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions or comments from members of the public?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Please identify yourself for the record.
I have a couple of quick questions.
Please identify yourself for the record.
Oh, Rob Cody, Ward 7. I have a couple of quick questions, curiosity, and since I do have a little bit of experience. So I went through the budgets for the last 20 years, and the average expenditure on ammunition for 20 years was $20,600 per year for 20 years, which over that 20-year period amounts to $412,000. Now, in April, the police department came before us, and they testified that they had 230,000 rounds in stock, predominantly 9mm. And when you calculate that out on, and conservatively wise, when you calculate that out on what you can purchase that for, that's about $73,600 worth of ammunition in stock. So they then asked for $250,000 worth of ammunition for AR-15 and 9mm. And when you look at the bulk prices of that, that came out to about 760,000 rounds of ammunition that could be bought, the exact specified ammunition that you can buy that from bulk suppliers online. Now we're looking for another $150,000 worth of ammunition, 9mm, which right now you can purchase that anywhere from 28 cents a round to 32 cents a round, mostly around 32 cents a round, for the exact specified ammunition that they're looking for, the Federal 124, exact specified. That amounts to 468,000 rounds of ammunition. So it just begs the question, 73,600 rounds that we had in stock, I'm sorry, we had 230,000 rounds of ammunition, 760,000 that we bought, now another 400, you know, 1.5 million rounds of ammunition for the city that's supposed to be the fifth safest city in New England. So it's developed a lot of questions for me, but the biggest thing is now when you look at the purchases, the allocations that we've asked for since April is $430,000 thereabouts, $436,000 worth of ammunition, but in 20 years, we've used $412,000. So how is it in 8 months, all of a sudden, the safest city needs more ammunition than we've purchased in 20 years? So given the state of our affairs, our unfunded liabilities, the bills, the budgets, I mean, we have to look at this. And I guess one of the questions I would have to ask, a couple questions, but I'll probably have to ask them formally in a request for public records, but I would ask through the chair, how many rounds of ammunition are used for qualifications?
Major?
The very basic qualifications required by state law. We have 163 current is our manpower. Each officer qualifies twice a year. That's legislatively required. So each officer, approximately 40 rounds. That's assuming it goes well. There's no remedial training, so on and so forth. That's each officer, each training. And that's a bare bones training requirement. That doesn't include the academy recruits, the SWAT team, sniper team, remedial training, officers that come back from long-term injury, officers that come back from long-term military leave, they have to requalify. We added the patrol rifle that got fully implemented over the last few years. That accounts for a significant amount of ammunition. That's the current policing model is a patrol rifle. That's unfortunately the way the world is going, that we carry those now. And that requires a significant amount of ammo. Just to put in perspective, a recruit that goes to the police academy is required to essentially walk through the door with 3,000 rounds of 9mm.
How many? I can't hear you.
3,000. Each recruit for the academy.
How many? 3,000, did you say?
They're each required to walk through the door, essentially, or the departments have to allocate for them, for the training in the academy, 3,000 rounds of 9mm ammo and close to 1,000 rounds of the rifle rounds, the .223.
So, okay, even if you add that up, right, we're at, in 8 months, 1.5 million rounds of ammunition. 1.5 million. So it would beg the question, is there an inventory control? I would ask that when an officer comes in, do they have to check it out? Is there paperwork where they check out X amount of rounds that's kept in inventory? It just seems extremely expansive, the amount of ammunition. And the other question I have is, you know, I used to shoot competitively in a marksmanship program, and we wouldn't practice with the best ammunition and with the most expensive. You practice with a less expensive ammunition, and for when you're, you know, when you're in a match, you use your match grade ammunition. So what I'm seeing here is we're buying the top of the line, highest quality ammunition. But from what I'm looking at your pricing, and your pricing isn't broken down per round or per box of rounds. It's just you have, okay, this is how much we need. It's not broken down whether you're buying lots of 1,000 based in 50 round packages or whatever. So we don't know what you're paying per round, which is really the number that you need to have. I'm figuring when I did the calculations before on your 223, you're paying more than 100% more than what you can buy that same ammunition on round for from bulk suppliers. So, I mean, I think the council needs to know the bottom line. How much are we paying per round? How many rounds do we have? What is the inventory control process? Because even if you're qualifying with, you know, 100 rounds on qualifications, I think it's disturbing from when you look at the amount of ammunition that a police department is acquiring in such a short period of time. I think it gives people reasons to be concerned, and some people get nervous about that, hey, is something going on? Why are we buying so much? And so I'll put forth the public records request asking those, but I think that the department owes the finance committee some numbers on a breakdown of what you're paying per round, specified rounds. Thank you.
Major, I believe you had answered some of those questions to me earlier, correct?
Yes, sir. I believe in an elaborate...
Okay, could you just elaborate on that, please?
Yes. So what I included was all the breakdown of trainings and what's required between training academy, our upcoming training academy, the SWAT training, sniper training. I mean, it goes on and on, all the training that we have that is required. It's not a luxury. It's a necessity at this point. I also have the breakdown of the this current bid that is before us tonight, the per 1,000 round pricing. That's, again, readily available for anybody that wants to see it.
And for the record, earlier today, you had also sent me copies of your purchase of ammo, which it does have the breakdowns on those items, such as the 9mm Winchester WSA 124. It shows it at 48 cents a round. Is that correct?
Yes, if that's what your math shows. I didn't break it down per round.
Any other members of the public willing to speak?
Hi, Cindy Wilson. So I have a question. I don't know a lot about guns. I'm actually afraid of guns. But who keeps the records? So who could I ask to say, how many rounds do we have now? Like, is it one person? Is it a group of people? Who exactly is responsible?
You could also do a public records request if you wish to seek that information. So
and that would tell me who actually keeps the records as well?
We have range personnel that maintain the inventory. We have inventory location at the police station, which is in a locked office and then within a locked safe.
Okay.
With very limited access. And our secondary location is at the police range. That's in a locked range, within a locked office, within a locked safe.
So at any time, is anybody doing a, you know, peek and check, like we're supposed to have this many? Do we have this many? Are we sure nothing's being...
Yes, they do keep inventory measures as they're using it. And I have all these estimates of what they, where all the ammunition is normally allocated to over the course of an average year.
So just so you know, it was all over next door neighbor today about this ammunition request, and many people are very fearful. I'm not sure why people don't attend the meetings. I think it's because oftentimes it seems like a waste of time, but I will tell you that it was all over next door neighbor concerning what's going on in Warwick, that we need all that ammunition. So just FYI.
For the record, too, and I'll be happy to provide it, I did receive, I believe that looks like it's 243 this afternoon, I did receive an inventory list from the major on various rounds that we have, and I'll be happy to share that with you. It's not to the round, but it's an inventory list to state what they have. Major, do you have anyone else from members of the public? Anyone else in the public would like to speak on this item? Major, do you have anything else?
No, just to reiterate, our 9mm ammunition, we're looking at bare bones minimum, approximately just shy of 100,000 rounds a year that we use. That's for basically all the required essentials. The academy, the trainings, SWAT training, qualifications, night qualifications. Any time an officer goes to a school, might be a specialized school for tactics or what have you, they are required to bring their own ammunition. That's close to 100,000, and then there's close to another 100,000 of the 223 ball ammo, which is for the rifles. That's the bare minimum in that category. So right there, you're looking at roughly 200,000 rounds of ammunition total.
And then I think I had mentioned to you also that it's recommended every 3 years we swap out our ammo, the duty ammo, which is more expensive than the regular ball ammo, which is used during the trainings and whatnot. So it's recommended that we swap that out every 3 years. So when the officer trains every third year, they'll use their duty ammo to expend that, and then they get that replaced with fresh duty ammo. And again, I did some research online. Some people recommend even replacing that every 6 to 12 months. That's not what we're here to say.
Versus 3 years.
Versus three years.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. Thank you, Major, for working with me on this. For the record, I also understand that in 6 months from now, you may have to come back, and we'll talk about it then. And obviously, you'll be asking the same questions and looking for the inventory, et cetera, et cetera. But I appreciate you working with us on that. Do we have a motion, please? I keep forgetting about that. That's okay. I do need a PCR on that one, though. So we have a PCR on this. The PCR, the motion will be to amend the request of the police department for ammunition from $150,000 to $75,000. Need a motion? I'll make a motion to amend from $150,000 to $75,000. I need a second. Second by Councilman Napper. Any further discussion? All in favor? Aye. Motion passes 4-0.
I did not vote for it.
You abstained?
I didn't vote. You didn't
have okay.
to vote against.
You got to do the
sorry.
Opposition,
okay. Any,
too.
Anyone opposed to this?
Yes. I'm voting no on the amendment.
Okay. So we have 3 yes and 1 no.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. We have, move favorable as amended on PCR 8-25. Second. All in favor? Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Okay. Item number 5, 2025-334, found on page 10, for the purchase of 2 Chevrolet pickup trucks.
Eric Earls, Public Works. Public Works is requesting vehicle purchases for the water division supervisors. Councilman Lattiser, you had sent over a handful of excellent questions. We have 2 supervisors in the division that we haven't had in a while. So these trucks will be going to the supervisors. The current two supervisors were previously both foremen. They are currently driving their foreman's vehicles. The foreman's vehicles have utility bodies, which allows them to store their tools and lock boxes on the side. These trucks are more standard, basic pickup trucks with the plow package. So when the supervisors, right now the job is posted for the 2 foremen. So when we have the 2 foremen, they'll get the trucks with the utility bodies, and these will go to the supervisors in the amount of $121,970.
Do you have any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the committee? So I do. Director, I had one of the questions I sent over was, did the department go out for bid for these two trucks, or did you just rely on the MPA? And the answer, I believe, was no, you did not, right?
Yeah, that's correct. We purchased most of our vehicles from the MPA because mm-hmm. that gives us good pricing. It allows us to spec out the models that we need. Purchasing for a municipality, it's not like we can walk onto the lot and pick whatever they have. It's also difficult to try and get used apparatus. We want to try and make sure that we're getting the packages that we want, like with these, the plow packages. And that's why it's tricky to try and purchase outside of the MPA. Plus, the MPA has historically been a very good deal for the city.
So, Eric, what I don't understand is why we need to purchase two brand new vehicles because we have two new supervisors in that position. And I don't understand why no one in the department bothered to, at least this is what I believe the answer was, go out and call some of the other auto vendors and find out what type of numbers do they have on those vehicles, as opposed to relying on the fact that the MPA is going to be the best deal. I know I've seen in my experience that that isn't always the case, but you don't know unless you try. And I think that's one of the things that the departments are going to need to do going forward in your due diligence to see if there is some better deals out there. Can you buy a truck? It may not be white, it may be green, it may not have the same type tires, that sort of thing. But you'll still be in the four-wheel drive, the F-250s or 2500s or whatever. And no one did that, right? So we're relying on the MPA and looking to spend $122,000 for two trucks for two new people.
The way the MPA works, though, the MPA has been competitively bid, just not by municipalities. That's why the pricing is usually good. Mm-hmm. It's set up so that municipalities don't have to continually dot I's and cross T's with regard to purchasing vehicles. The state, through this master price agreement, has done that legwork for us. They've gone out to bid, they've collected the information, they've asked vendors to send their best prices. That's what the MPA is. So it's not an arbitrary number. And could we have called around? I suppose we could have, but we also have a very specific idea, or not idea, but a very specific type of truck that we want. You know, we don't want to buy different brands of trucks because that just makes it more difficult when we're purchasing parts or for our mechanics to work on different types of vehicles, right? I mean, so we've been buying Chevys for the supervisors. So here are two more. Again, now that makes it a lot easier for our mechanics to do the preventive maintenance. They're not worrying about bringing in a Toyota or a Ford or a Chevy. It's all Chevys right now. And so that makes it a lot easier from that perspective as well.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the MPA and how it works. And that's actually one of the reasons why I get concerned with not doing a double check on them to make sure that number is still good. And is it the best number that we can get? Again, we have issues here with finances. The well is dry. There is no more opera funds available. The state doesn't have any more money. As a matter of fact, they have their own issues that they have to deal with. So what, again, speaking for me personally, I'm going to be looking to everyone to be doing a little more with a little less. And given our current situation between what's going on with the finances of this entire city, I do have a very strong concern about just going out and spending another $122,000 on two vehicles. And I would probably be more ready to accept me personally, perhaps going out for one vehicle this year and another vehicle next year and make do with what we have, given the current situation that's pending to us. Is this something that you would be willing to agree to?
I don't see the benefit in that. You know, we need two vehicles because we have two new supervisors. I don't know what the other supervisor would be driving if we weren't to purchase a vehicle for them.
What's he driving now?
Like I said, they're driving the foreman's vehicles because they both used to be foremen. Mm-hmm. But we're filling those two foreman's positions. So the foremen are going to be driving those trucks with the utility bodies. So we won't. We'll have to purchase something for the supervisor. And I know that this doesn't matter that much, but this is a water division purchase, and the water division is an enterprise fund. And so they have money in their capital budget for these types of purchases.
Well, so do other people. You know, other departments have budgets that were approved by this council, and concessions are being made. So what you're saying is you're locked in to absolutely must have two new vehicles for two new supervisors for $122,000. We can't go with a new vehicle and perhaps go out and shop around for a late model used vehicle that would serve the same purpose.
I'm providing you with what my recommendation is for this water division, which is part of Public Works, and I'm the director of Public Works. This is my recommendation. I don't know what else you want me to say.
Okay. All right. Do we have any other questions? Councilman Rex.
Thank you. I do understand that the city has traditionally gone out, bought brand new vehicles for various departments. In some situations, I think that that's required, it's warranted, it makes a lot of sense. This is something where, as the chairman was indicating, we are looking at some tight budgets coming up, and we really do have to, as a city council and the city as a whole, find items here and there where we ask the tough questions and see, okay, how can we shave off a few hundred dollars here, a few thousand there, and perhaps in a situation like this, a few 10,000 over here. Now, I don't need any type of specialized truck or the like for my own job. I understand that it is quite different for the DPW, obviously. We need to have reliable vehicles because otherwise it's going to wind up costing us a whole heck of a lot more. But then the question is, as the chairman indicated, is it absolutely necessary to have brand new vehicles for these two particular positions? And I'm going to keep an open mind on that. I'd be interested in hearing more, but I'll tell you what, I've never gone out and bought a brand new vehicle myself. It's my understanding that, sure, there are some benefits, of course, to buying brand new, warranty that has value to it, of course, but we all know that when a brand new vehicle is driven off the lot, it loses a significant part of its value. So I would be curious about shopping around, seeing what's out there that's 2-3 years old, reliable, at a much more affordable price. I'd be interested in hearing more about those types of options. That's all my comment for now. Thank you.
Any other members of the council? Any members of the council? So, again, I think everyone just, you need to realize what we're facing here in the future. And we need to start by tightening that belt. We certainly need to start, as I said, doing a little more with a little less. This is going to end up being another snowball effect. And before you know it, we're going to be sitting here with millions of dollars worth of taxes that we need to pass on to the members of the public. And to say that it's even close to fair to have 100% of this pain move on to the taxpayers is not anything that I'm going to be doing, that's for sure. Any other comments from members of the public?
Rob Cody, Ward 7. I have a question. You've said several times we have two new supervisors. Are these people that were not formally employed by the city?
We had two new supervisor positions, so we posted them, and they were filled by the two foremen in the water division. So they were essentially promoted into the supervisor positions.
So we had, prior to this, we did have two existing supervisors that we don't know.
No, they were new to this budget cycle. We actually haven't had two supervisors in the water division for several years now. That kind of created a vacuum at the top in the water division, and we worked to remedy that by adding these supervisor positions so there was a better management structure within the division. So yeah, we haven't had supervisors over there for at least prior to my tenure anyway.
But the existing supervisor had a vehicle, correct?
There were no supervisors, that's what I'm saying.
There were no supervisors?
Correct. There was the division chief, and then there were the foremen. And there was an office manager who was management as well. But the division chief was the primary supervisor for most of the division.
So now you can have a division chief, two supervisors, and then foremen? Is that correct?
That's correct. And that's the way it had been historically up until 5 or 6 years ago.
So they'll all have a vehicle, correct?
That's correct.
Are these take-home vehicles?
For these positions, they would be, because they're on call 24/7. They would have the option to. Not all the people that have that option do take them home, but it would be an option for these positions.
I don't understand. They have the option? Why would they have the option? Isn't this a management call of who needs to take home a vehicle?
Well, if someone didn't want to take home the city vehicle, they wouldn't have to. If they lived close enough to the yard, they might choose to. It might not be beneficial for them to take it home. That's all.
The reason I ask that, so you familiar with Social Drive is? It's 0.8 miles from the city yard, right across from the library.
Social Drive.
You know what Social Drive is?
I don't.
Okay, so we have a Chevy 3500 truck, brand new. That's the that one of your persons takes home to work every day, 0.8 miles from the city yard. So, I see that happen. As you know my position when it comes to efficiency, waste, and moving, I'm wondering if...
Mr. Cody, let's stay on track with these two particular vehicles.
Yeah, just wondering if it's efficient to take vehicles home. As you just said, they have the opportunity to do that. It's their choice. You're 0.8 miles away from home, and we're taking a $65,000 truck back and forth. And, you know, I just go back to the same premise that we just are not operating any aspect of this city in an efficient manner. And now we're going to buy more vehicles. We're not tightening our belt whatsoever. And the city is on a fiscal precipice right now. And I don't see any signs where people are looking to do things more efficiently, whether it's get a better deal on vehicles, maybe get something that's not quite as expensive. You know, if the service for that vehicle is not such that, you know, it's going to be used every day in a heavy capacity. I just think there's a lot of ways that we can be a little more efficient and which would benefit the taxpayer. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members of the public? Just please identify yourself for the record.
Hi, Ian Sheridan, Ward 9. So question I have is, we have two new supervisors and then we have the foreman. What does a supervisor get on an annual salary? Approximately?
Approximately 85,000.
And the foreman?
65, 70.
So if we had half time for either of, you know, you've got somebody working half a year and gets promoted and he's working half a year, it would seem to me that you've got $140,000 in payroll.
Mr. Sheridan, we need to stay on target for about the two trucks.
You could use the $140,000 that's in payroll and reclassify it to buy the two trucks. I mean, isn't that the way normal people do things? I mean, even if you fill these other positions at the end of the year, you're not going to use the complete payroll budget. So why not transfer funds from the payroll budget to buy the trucks? That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments from members of the public?